All right, halfway home on a Wednesday, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Thanks for being here. Thanks to Adam Jones. Brett Boone's coming up at 8.35. Talking Padres baseball, all that entails here on the program. Hope you guys are having a good Wednesday. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. I will be heading out to our beloved Petco Park today for a 3:40 start, which I'm into. I'm into the 3:40. The 1:10, by the time I get home, do what I need to do, the game starts at 1:10, and I'm like, I start to get a little snoozy. And with the way the offense is playing, it's almost a guarantee I would fall right asleep. So 3:40 is not 6:40. It's not one. It's actually perfect for me.
Oh, you're going to hit traffic on both ends.
Yeah, for sure.
But driving in and going home.
I'm used to that. And I don't know how long we'll stay. We wanted to go watch and support Tim Flannery. Going to be doing the national anthem today. His family's going to be there. So we got good seats. And I'm going to tell, I hope my kids aren't listening. I'm going to tell both of them that Gallagher Square is closed. It's adults only.
Oh,
they're doing
I heard about that.
The adults only party out there in Gallagher Square.
Shouldn't even go look at it.
No, we don't. We can't have access.
Grown-ups only on the big bat slide.
Yes, yeah. It's a special ticket that you need to get in Gallagher today. Bo's good. Bo will sit and watch the game. Now Taylor will not. Taylor, all he wants to do is go play, and I'll give it 4 pitches in the first before he goes, Dad, can we go? Can we go? I want this. I want that. It's excruciating. It's excruciating. So I'm going to be there. Look, if you see me and my family leaving early, it's not me today. Today I want to go and stay because we got really good seats. I want to watch the game, and I'm excited. But
I think my favorite is the 5:40 Saturday start.
It's pretty elite.
Agree, Paulie. 5:40
is perfect.
Really sun's good.
Still out for most of the game,
nice.
It's cooling off a little bit, or it's moving behind the building.
The problem with 3:40 is you're going to get a lot of those shadows crossing over, and it's already hard enough to hit.
Well, I don't have
baseball.
To hit. I'm not hitting today. I don't know if you know this.
Probably going to get an under on, Michael King, he's tough to hit already. Bryce Miller, tough to hit. Offense could be difficult in the shadows of 3:40.
The offense is difficult anyway.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I don't have to hit today, so
5:40 is great, though, Paulie, because it gives you so many options. If you're more of an early person, you can go downtown early, do like happy hour, you then go to the game, and then just go right home afterwards. Or if you're more of a night owl, go to the game. You could still go to dinner after
the game.
You're
done by 8 o'clock.
Yeah, you go to dinner. You can go out drinking, whatever you want to do afterwards. You have so many options with 5:40 that
you see the sunset still. Like, you got all of that.
Yeah.
It's
I think we can all agree that the change from 7:10.
Oh, it's been a godsend.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Can you imagine if they ever went back to 7:10? I just can't. I can't even picture it.
We riot.
I mean, it felt like we were up watching games at like 11.
Yeah.
And
before the new rules. And games that started at 7:10 that ended at 10:25 to 10:40 every single night. Just not doable.
It's not. It's absolutely not doable. So I'm excited about that. I want to go out and see the boys today. Hopefully they can get a win. Just watching the love that is growing in my 6-year-old for the game and the team. Got to meet Higgy yesterday, and he talked about it all day, man. He was just so enamored with him, and it's just fun. And Kyle Higashioka, again, thanks to him for coming in yesterday. If you missed that interview, it was awesome. It was awesome. He's a great, great dude. Guy that you root for. Obviously, he went yard last night, which, again, gave me a dumb sigh of relief because he was in on the show. And, you broke Kyle Higashioka, And so I was really happy to see him go tank.
Well, we did cause him to strike out in his first at bat on a weak kind of sword swing.
Yeah.
But after that, we helped him hit a home run.
Yeah, we did. So no, I was it was great, man. It's been a fun week so far. Like to get a win. It will be my last chance to talk about a win this week, Ben.
That's right.
Well, it's mine as well because there's no game tomorrow.
So
right.
Either way, on Friday, we won't be talking about a win or a loss. And you won't be here at all.
I will not be here Friday.
You're going. Where are you going up to? A concert?
Yeah, I'll be in LA.
Multiple concerts.
Yeah, I'm going. I'm doing the. I've never. I have a lot
like Dodger Love if I've ever heard.
Well, listen. I'm not going to see the Dodgers. I'm going to go see a band that I love. And I've never done three shows in three nights. What is the over-under that I actually make it to all
three? So you're going Thursday night.
Thursday night.
Friday night.
Thursday night's in San Diego, though.
Ah, I see.
But I'm...
So the same band.
Mm-hmm.
Three different venues or two different venues?
Three different venues.
Okay, so two different Los Angeles venues on...
San Diego, Anaheim.
Orange County.
And then L.A.
You'll just be trekking your way up.
Going up Friday to L.A. and then trekking back for the show and then back to Hollywood.
Wait, you're driving up to L.A. just so you can drive back down to Anaheim
yeah,
for the show.
Correct, because I didn't want to get a place in Anaheim because I'm almost 50. What am I going to do in Anaheim? I'd rather be out in L.A. than Anaheim.
Anaheim's a major tourist mecca due to a certain theme park.
Yeah,
in the
but
area.
My buddy's coming in. What am I going to take him to Bubba Gump Shrimp? Like, let's go rage tonight over at Bubba Gump's. Forget it. We're going to be out in Hollywood having a good time.
But then you have to drive all the way down to Anaheim.
Well, yeah, I'm not driving anything. My buddy's driving. He doesn't drink. Right. So he's driving us. And we're going to go to the show. The beauty is the band that I want to see is the opener. They come on at like 8, and they're done at 9:15, 9:30.
But the
whole
way,
night ahead of me.
The way these things work is they will play probably the exact same songs all three nights, right?
Yeah.
In the same order.
Yeah, there may be one. I looked at their set list and I'm begging them to like change it up. And it's the last three nights of the tour. I'm like, please, please. I don't know that I can go see. I'm going to have to. I bought tickets. I don't know if I want to see the same set list three straight.
That's on you.
I know. It's not on me. I'm not the band.
Have you ever seen the same band twice in one tour?
Yes.
Alone three times in a row.
Yeah.
The three consecutive
nights.
Dates on a tour.
I feel like a deadhead. This is what they do, but they do it for like 4 months at a time.
Would Bill Walton go to like 8,000 shows?
Yes. But they're like, they go all summer and go every night.
I mean, I saw Blink 182 last June, and they just played again like last week.
Yes.
So it was about a year apart. And I looked at, I was like, it's pretty much the same set list that I saw a year ago, because all my friends are like, oh, you going to Blink? I'm like, I just saw them.
Saw
like,
the
by
same
day three, are you kind of hoping they mess up or something just to make it like different?
Well, that will be the last night of the tour, so I'm hoping they blow it out. But again, they're the opener, so they only have an hour and 15. You can't go.
So who's opening and who's headlining?
The Afghan Whigs are the band that I want to see the most, and they're the opener, and then the Church is the headliner. I bet you I don't see one note from any of the three churches.
So you're only going for the open.
I am.
Even though probably the major cost of the tickets is for the headliner.
Correct. And I like the Church enough, but not enough to not leave at 9:15 and get to go out.
Should you be able to buy a ticket just for the opening act?
No.
If you like only wanted to see the opening, just get a discounted ticket. Like, I'm only staying for the opener.
No.
That would never be enforced.
It would never be enforced. And
but you
no
have to
way,
leave.
There's
then.
No way to do it. Special wristbands. They drag you out.
They start slit.
It would be
you're
a nightmare.
Done.
But no, I'm really the most.
It's like a doubleheader, you know, like day night. You clear out,
yeah, clear
and
out.
You get everyone back in for the next game.
The most important thing is that I get to hang with a dude that I've been friends with since I was 10, and I don't get to see him.
But you
him
could have done
much.
Something else, like the second night, or done.
Yeah,
like,
but we both love this band.
Right.
This is like our thing.
And I think going twice would have been enough. And then plan something else the other night.
Look, there's a...
Go Thursday, Saturday to the band, and then Friday, skip Anaheim, just stay in Hollywood.
Who are you talking to? You know that's a possibility.
Yeah.
I mean, you know that I go Thursday and never see them again. You know that that's a possibility. I go so hard on Thursday night, I never see the band again. You know that. So it's all up in the air.
Do you
right
ever
now.
Go see a movie three nights in a row at the theater? Like, that's the same thing.
It's basically the same thing, dude.
Like, I'm not criticizing you. I'm
good. Oppenheimer.
I'm trying to learn because that's a lot.
I love them. They're getting up there, and I just want to get as much as I can. Does that make sense? And they do. He'll mix up like a little medley, and I don't know. Is it worth it? Yeah, for me it is, because I love them so much. And their guitar player is a good friend of mine, so I get to see him. I might have some like cool access and stuff.
So where are you staying? Chateau Marmont?
No, we got an Airbnb.
In Hollywood.
Yeah, in Hollywood. It's awesome. It's awesome. So it's my buddy's turning 50 in August. This is kind of for him, and my birthday's next week. So it's just time.
Do you have any like favorite like clubs or anything you like to go to when you're up there?
You know, it's funny. There's a bar in Hollywood I like to go. It's called Woods. The Woods. Yeah.
The Woods.
It's amazing. Some of the strongest drinks you'll ever have in your life. It's incredible. So I like that place. And there's the singer of the band.
Or you can go to the Ben and just have the non-alcoholic
That's
drink.
Right. The singer of the band owns a couple of bars, too, that we're probably going to check out. So, yeah, man. It's, okay. It's going to be great. I can't wait.
Nothing touristy like the Walk of Fame or see the handprints in front of the Chinese theater.
No.
Nothing touristy.
No, we're going to sit by the pool on our asses all day Saturday and then go to the show. And then my wife has already said I need to be home early on Sunday because, well, why wouldn't she? That's what she does.
Yeah, we have a Tier 1 baseball game.
I will not make the game so that you have
a control.
You just
said you're coming home early.
She's going to make me. Got to watch the kids.
You can bring the kids to the game.
No, you can't.
You can't.
No. I'm probably going to be a little worse for wear if I had to guess.
I think Bo could coach third.
I was thinking about this week having like a drink a night just to prime. I don't drink much anymore. Just to like prime the pump. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't.
Kind of like stretching
yeah,
before
like
you
stretching
exercise.
Before a game. Like, all right, I'm going to have one bourbon tonight. All right, now I'm going to have two bourbons. How do I feel? Because you know how I go. I go.
Because if you just jump right in without stretching, you're going to pull something.
There's a decent chance I pull something real hard tomorrow night. Decent chance. Very, very decent chance.
Dominic asks in the chat, what band would Ben ever see three nights in a row? I don't think there's not one.
No chance. Wouldn't do anything three nights in a row.
No.
I don't think I'd go to the same restaurant three nights in a row.
I don't think I would either. But I'm doing this three nights in a row. It's just, I'm such an over. Everything has to be overkill with me. Right. It's so stupid.
I would play the
You're
same
right.
golf.
I should've...
I'd play the same golf course.
Yeah. You would do that.
I would do that.
That's true. If you belong to a country
Even
club,
then, day three, I'm like, can we switch it up? Go somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah, you would do it. But if you belong to a country club, you're like, this place again?
Right.
Right? Wouldn't some of that creep in where you're like, I'm going to do this again?
Yeah, you want to keep it fresh. But I always feel like, hey, if you're a PGA Tour player, you play the same course at least 4 days in a row.
Right.
For the tournament. So, like, you know, you get better. You get to know the course each day, ins and outs, but... I don't know if it's a movie, if it's a concert. It just feels like you're just on repeat.
Remember this? Andros says, get real. Ben didn't even listen to one song more than two times in a
According
calendar.
According to my Spotify recap.
What song was it?
Oh, God.
It might have been Sultans of Swing twice.
Yeah.
Was
that
what it is?
I think that's what it was.
Yep. Andros, I had totally forgotten about that. Spotify recap wrapped.
Oh, God.
You know what my number one song is? Sultans of Swing. You know how many times I listened to it? Twice. In a whole year.
And I want to just repeat everything all year long.
Oh, you're incredible. You are incredible. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'll miss the roundtable tomorrow, too. Sorry about that.
You will.
Yeah.
But you're here for the show.
I'm here for the show.
You can't stay one more hour for the roundtable.
My son is participating in Manny Machado's baseball camp tomorrow.
Okay.
So I want to go watch him for an hour and then go to the airport.
And I hear we'll have a very special guest in on the roundtable tomorrow.
Who is it?
Tony Gwynn Jr.
Very special guest indeed. Love it.
I went and found, this was from, last November.
Ben and Woods on the Fan.
I did not know that Spotify Wrapped was going to be sent out today.
My top song, it said, which is actually one of my favorites, Sultans of Swing by Dire Straits. You know how many times I played it? Two.
I just had a short in my head. 365 days.
My favorite song I played twice. You don't want to overdo these things. So then it always feels fresh and new to you.
It's so electric, dude.
You're a gem.
It's so electric. Adam rolled his eyes at me in the chat for missing the round table, but sorry, I want to see my kid play ball, man. I just want to see Manny and my son and, you know, learning how to field grounders and all that.
All right, we got Brett Boone coming up at the bottom of the hour on a Big League Wednesday. Injury update for your San Diego Padres. There was a certain player back on the field yesterday and had some comments, so we'll get you updated on that when we come back as well. Check traffic with Kelly. More Ben Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
We are the literal birthday shout-out show now. Happy birthday, Umberto from Escondido.
Anybody else got birthdays?
Any other birthdays you want us to do? It's a good time for it. It's kind of slow right now.
Well, I mean, when you think about it mathematically, one out of every 365 listeners should be celebrating a birthday today.
Sure.
So, you know, hopefully you've got several thousand listeners out there, which means on any given day should be at least a handful of birthdays in the Tier 1 audience.
Happy birthday to all of you. Can we just do one big blanket happy birthday
2024
to all the
birthday shout outs,
yes,
to
all of you. Just every one of you guys, happy birthday. Well, no matter when it is, today, tomorrow, it's already passed. We love you guys. Happy birthday to all of you.
We got an update yesterday on Xander Bogaerts, who was in attendance at Petco Park, took batting practice on the field, took some infield practice as well, and then spoke to the media. Basically said he feels good, healthy, the shoulder is healed, getting his timing back, and feels like just needs a couple of more games in the minor leagues and should be ready to go at that point. Now, Padres will make the final decision, but sounds like there was no game yesterday in the minor leagues. Teams are off on Mondays generally. So he was at Petco Park. The expectation would be that he'll go to maybe Lake Elsinore today and tomorrow, and then could be back as soon as Friday to join the Padres on the big league level.
Okay, Friday.
Friday, maybe Saturday, if there's no setbacks or anything.
You're just right into another long vacation.
He was asked about that. It's like, is it going to be weird? Is it going to be weird to come back and then have 4 days off? And he goes, no, not really.
It's going to be awesome. I mean,
yeah, he was didn't have a lot of words in terms of his descriptions of everything. Just
I saw the audio was posted. Do we have the audio of Schilt talking about where he's going to play when he comes back? Is that something?
Yeah,
that we saw?
You know, it wasn't definitive. He said, you know, expect him to go back to second base.
He was taking grounders at second.
Expect Jake Cronenworth to go back to first base, but also expect we're going to rotate around some DHs and give guys days off. So none of that's going to necessarily be a daily thing where it's simply Manny, Ha-Sung Kim, Xander Bogaerts, right, and Jake Cronenworth every single day. Luis Arraez will play the field at times. Donovan Solano will be in the lineup at times. It's just going to be a matter of, you know, the situation, the starting pitching matchup, the health of everybody who needs a day off, and, you know, just have more depth with which to choose from once Xander Bogaerts returns to the lineup.
You know, somebody asked me yesterday in a DM, Woodsy, why wouldn't they consider putting Luis Arraez in the outfield? When he came up with the Twins in 19, he did play some outfield. He played a handful, 60, 70 games potentially. And then for whatever reason, they moved him into the infield. And, you know, he's not a plus defender by any stretch of the imagination. He's been fine, I guess, at first. Had a couple of missteps, but everybody does. Is that an option, Ben, in putting him back out there?
I've not heard any talk of Luis Arraez. I think, you know, so he was a left fielder, I believe, when he played. Probably because he doesn't have a strong arm for right field. So if you're going to put him in left field, that means now you're moving your all-star left fielder
to right field.
Jurickson probably could do that.
Probably.
But should he have to, with, you know, having the career season, all of a sudden have to move positions in the middle of the year when you're comfortable out in left field? That's not necessarily a smart strategy or the best thing for Jurickson. So I think for that reason, they're not really considering Luis Arraez in the outfield, because there's no place to put him, because he really doesn't have the skills or the arm to be a right fielder.
Got a Schilt here if you want to hear talking about Xander.
You have a lot of infielders when Xander's back. A lot of guys who are playing really well, too. I know it's the proverbial good problem to have, but like, how do you kind of sort out the playing time and the at-bats when Xander's back?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's we need another position. Maybe a five-man infield, you know? You know, messed around with that with Toddy being on the field. But we got three outfielders who are making all-star teams, so we're not going to go that route, obviously. No, we just need to be smart about and communicative with the players and matchups. And, there's going to be a real productive player that's not going to be in the lineup to start the game, and then figure out the best spot for them to be used when the situations arise.
48 games is the number Brandon saw. He looked at his MLB page and thought the same thing. 48 games in left field. Yeah, it's not a lot. It's not a lot of games at all. Jackson Merrill played zero games out there, but a bit younger.
Eggie Rosario's now played two or three in the
right
minor
field.
Leagues, and he could be back and playing there. He has the arm for it, though.
Yeah.
And he'd also be the option against left-handed pitchers because he's right-handed.
Yeah, I don't want to get into a platoon situation with Luis Arraez, though. He needs to be in the lineup every single day somehow, some way.
How is he going to be in the lineup every
single day? I don't know how, unless he DHs, which he has said repeatedly he does not want to do. He's not a DH. He wants to play the field. I mean, there's a lot of things I want I don't get either.
He's not going to be in the field every day.
He may be
in the lineup most days, but to do that, he's going to have to DH at least half the time.
Yes.
And then maybe as other guys need a DH day, he can move back to first base.
Yeah, and honestly, as banged up as Luis has been, it may be the best thing for him to play, to DH.
Yeah, he's definitely not quite looked the same since he injured his hand or
shoulder,
whatever it was.
A couple different things.
But then I looked at it, and he had three straight two-hit games last week.
Yep.
The last couple of games he's taken some offers, but he still can produce even when he's not obviously 100%. He's got those skills. So I don't think they're really considering an injured list stint for Luis Arraez. Hopefully the All-Star break will get him some time and get back to healthy, because they get him back on a run like he went on when he first joined the Padres. He was really kind of carrying the team for a while there. Now he's not bad, but he's certainly not nearly as hot as he was before.
Yeah, no doubt.
A few more weak grounders, getting under some balls, hitting some pop flies that were line drives earlier in the season.
They had like a weird back-to-back strikeout game over the weekend, which is like jarring to see from him when he strikes out twice in a row. You're like, oh my God, is everything okay? But no, it's going to be interesting to see where they piece everybody, where they put everybody. Look, baseball always has a way of working itself out, always. I mean, it's just when we start to worry, do we have too many arms right now in the Dodgers this year? We have so many arms. We have like 17 starting pitchers. Now they can't find one, and so it just, baseball works itself out. Whenever you think you've got a problem solved or a hole plugged, the next one pops open. So it's got to be ready for it.
So there's your injury update for the San Diego Padres. When we come back, we'll continue with our Big League Wednesday, get some stories and more from Brett Boone, our Odyssey insider.
Got to ask him about his brother right now in the absolute chamber in New York. In the chamber.
I'm sure he's trying to stay out of it as much as he can.
Yeah.
But he'll have some thoughts for sure.
Yeah, he will.
Brett Boone joins us when we come back with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Why don't we just get right to it? Joining us right now is Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Brett, also the host of the Brett Boone podcast, featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports every week. Booney, good morning.
Good morning, guys. What's happening?
Just chilling, man. Watching, talking baseball like we do and talking about the All-Stars. I know you were a three-time All-Star, and Adam Jones, we had on earlier, he said it never gets old, and it's always awesome, and each one was very special. And I know there's probably a couple of All-Stars going. I don't know who, but they're like, man, I could really use the break, but I'll go and do this right now.
I never understood that.
Yeah.
I never understood it. And now the farther I get away from being a player, something I did for a long time, and you never think it's going to end. And I had the attitude then, I'd see guys get picked for the game, and, they had a little soreness. Oh, I'm going to sit this one out, because maybe they've been to five or six. And I always thought, are you crazy? You take every award, you take every opportunity, you're invited, something go. You only go around one time, and it's even more glaring to me the farther I get away from it. Like, just enjoy everything you have. These guys that I got to go to two home run derbies. One of them I stunk, but I got to do them. I got to do them. I got invited. That wasn't my genre. It wasn't my forte. But I'll be damned if I get invited to be in a home run derby. How many people get invited? So I took every opportunity, even though I knew it wasn't my strong point, sitting there without a cage, hitting homers as an exhibition. But I thought, I want to take advantage of this. The guys that took the All-Star, it's like you go to the All-Star game. How many times are you going to be an All-Star?
It's incredible.
So I never understood that mindset. I don't want to get personal with anybody in their decisions, but my brain doesn't calculate it. You do everything you can. You accept every award you can. you get every experience you can. So to me, All-Star, yeah, it's not like it was in 1970 and the Pete Roses, we're going to win this game because, you know, this is the pride's on the line. I get that. And I think that's.
I hate to ask.
Today's game is an exhibition. And the main thing is don't get hurt. And as a player, you think don't get hurt and don't embarrass yourself. Because the most important part is getting back to your team and being a viable asset down the stretch. But, man, really embrace this All-Star. And I don't know. I did.
All right. Sorry. No, that's all right. I hate to ask, but when you say you stunk in the Home Run Derby, what's the total?
You got Paulie on the back channels.
Well, I remember, Booney. We've told you this. You were my favorite player as a Seattle Mariner. I was like 11 years old.
This was not
All-Star
the time
game
format.
In Seattle.
This wasn't the time format, right? You got 10 outs when you
This was a different format. I actually think the current format is better.
Okay.
It's more entertaining. It's more entertaining for the fans, I think. Ours was different. It was outs.
Yeah.
And there was much lower total, how many homers you hit. I went to Seattle. It was my first one. I got invited. And I did okay. I held serve. I didn't embarrass myself. I didn't hit 20 homers.
Yeah.
But I did good. I tied Sammy Sosa, who I was pitted against.
Fine.
Well, back in the day, when you tie, they didn't have a tiebreaker. Their tiebreaker was you go to the stats and who has the most home runs at the break. I think I had 22 or 24, and Sammy had like 28. So he went on, and I remember the crowd just booed because we tied and he was going on. But I was okay because I just said, hit a few homers, don't embarrass yourself. Got in, got out. The one that was rough was in Chicago a couple years later. I got invited to it, and I blame it on the guy throwing BP, but
yeah,
I had a rough out. I had a rough outing, and I heard every venue I went to the second half, that's all I heard about was.
I feel like that happens all the time, though, because you that first All-Star game, that was you were a Mariner. It was in Seattle.
Oh.
Will Myers struggled as his local.
I blame his brother.
Participant.
His brother throwing BP was terrible.
It wasn't your dad or someone who was throwing you BP, was it?
It was not my guy. Okay. So my guy was John McLaren. He was my bench coach. I mean, he just had a way of hitting the barrel of my bat. So it's a late call, and I think about it. I don't have Johnny with me. So I give him a call about a week before. I said, Johnny, I need you to fly to Chicago, throw BP. Booney, I'm going on a trip to Haiti with my, wherever he was going, with my wife. Well, I had the option right there. I'm going to refund his trip. I'm going to give him a better trip. Well, I'll let him go enjoy his All-Star breaks. I said, it's no big deal. Anybody could throw BP. Well, fast forward. I get there. Dave Valley, who I love Dave. I was a teammate my rookie year with Dave, and he was around the Seattle Mariners doing the commentary for a lot of years. I said, Dave, all right, you got to throw BP to me today. We go out for the warm-up BP, and I just know. Some guys you don't click with, I'm like, this ain't going to work. He's throwing me right-handed cutters. We're buddies. He's out there sweating. He wants me to do well. And I'm like, Val, you're horrible. I had heard from the lefties, they love him. Jason Giambi was wearing him out, hitting him in the upper deck, but it's just cutting away from me. And I'm hitting doubles down the left field line, which don't pay very good in the Home Run Derby. And I remember just a terrible showing, zero homers. I never felt like I wanted to just crawl in a hole anymore. And I saw Troy Gloss in 2001 get skunked, and he was really taking it hard. And I was laughing, like, who cares? You're at the All-Star game, you got 22 homers at the break. This doesn't matter. Now, fast forward, I went through a really bad Home Run Derby, and now I know the feeling. Like, you have to do that interview afterwards with the Gatorade, and you're looking for words, and that, you get that uncomfortable laugh, and it's really not funny, but you don't know what else to do. Anyway, I go home and all my teammates are wearing me out. Booney, nice Home Run Derby. You know what the answer to them is? Try getting invited. Try qualifying for one before you have an opinion. And that's what I went with the second half of the season.
Yeah, and try having Dave Valley throw to you. Yeah, Dave Valley throwing you cutters on your hands. I was there for the Will Myers one. I had really good seats and I was watching. And you could see the frustration. And I think it was his brother. Wasn't his brother?
Yeah, his brother.
And obviously he's panicked. I mean, he's just throwing BP would be harder than hitting it. It would be so terrifying.
I agree with
you.
Oh, my God,
man. And you just see the frustration building. He just can't get one over. It's gnarly. Well, let's shift gears a little bit. Talking to Brett Boone here on Ben and Woods this morning. I wanted to ask you about your brother and what's going on in New York right now. I mean, it's New York, so
he's having a good time.
He's having a real good time right now.
You know what I think of managing and how important managers are. It was great because the first half of the season, I'd do a show and people would ask me, "Hey, Aaron's doing a great job." I said, "Yeah, well, of course. He learned how to manage over the off season. It's all about managing.
Smart ass.
It's all about." And they love him, and he's the greatest manager of all time. A year ago, he they wanted his head. They wanted him killed in New York. I said, it's unbelievable how over the winter, just with a couple tips here and there, became an unbelievable manager. It has nothing to do with the players being healthy.
Pitching.
And now all of a sudden, they're going through a three-week real skid. You know, I look at it, and it's still their top. They got one of the top records in all of baseball.
Yep.
But nevertheless, it's been a rough 3 weeks. And all of a sudden, they want his head again. And all of a sudden, Aaron Boone doesn't know how to manage anymore.
It's wild.
And it's amazing how you learn, you forget. There should be a course how to do it, because I think these managers would really, they'd all win World Series because it's not the players and the health. It's all about managing. All right. Now let's be serious a little bit. Talk to him. He's fine, but he's going through, what you're going through. You've got a great team. You've got huge expectations. For me, that team needs help in the bullpen. And I think everybody knows that. They've got it. They've always had that power bullpen. They're missing some key guys. They got to get them back, Birdie being one of them. But I think they need real help out in that bullpen. I think Giancarlo Stanton is not talked about. We're talking about Aaron Judge and Juan Soto, who are MVP candidates this year. Aaron Judge stays healthy. I think he walks away with the MVP. That being said, I think Giancarlo Stanton is the most important person in that lineup. I know what Judge is going to do. I know what Soto is going to do. Verdugo is going to go in and out. DJ's getting a little bit older, tough. But the presence of Giancarlo Stanton, and a productive one, which he was before he went on the IL, he just has that presence in the middle of the lineup. Whereas an opposing hitter, as an opposing pitcher, you can't just say, "I avoid Soto, I avoid Judge, and I can cruise through this lineup." With Giancarlo sitting there, you can't do that. And with him being out of the lineup, I think it's a glaring hole. Got to get him back as soon as you can. I think that's going to be okay and fix that lineup. But I think you really have to address that bullpen. Cole's back. He's had three starts. Two have been not really Cole-like. One was. But you got to realize, this is his spring training right now. Gerrit Cole in the long run is going to be fine. I look at the rest of that rotation. Rodon's been really shaky. He's been up and down. He's got off to a really good start, but he's been faltering. Stroman's had a couple bumps in the road. Nestor's been kind of a constant. He's been pretty darn good for him. Clark Schmidt, the young starter who's having a great year, he's missed a ton of time. He's not going to be back till late in the season. So you're looking at all these, adding them together, and it's like the young kid, Heel, who was a shoe-in rookie of the year, he fell on some tough times. He's righted the ship, so he's better. I think that starting rotation is going to be okay. Really got to address that bullpen as we go down the line. But as I'm finding in 2024, it's not about that marathon anymore. I think we covered this last week. It's not about winning 100 games. It's about being healthy, being in the right place from a health standpoint per this roster, having a seat at the table in the postseason and going into the postseason hot. That's what win World Series in 2024, not winning 102 games and having an unbelievable season. It's about being healthy at the right time.
Talking to Brett Boone, Insider Calls brought to you by Granger. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. And we've seen a couple of small moves, but no real trade deadline action yet, Brett. And it just feels like there's not enough players to go around. There's so many teams with needs, pitching needs especially. Obviously, the Padres in need of starting pitching pretty badly right now, but so are so many other teams. A couple of teams are going to be left without anything at the end of this month, and their GMs are going to get raked over the coals, but there's just not enough to go around, it feels like, right now.
You're right, and I think if you look at the numbers, American League, National League, there's probably six teams that you can probably say, you know what, you're not going to the postseason this year. But because of the new format, because of the trade deadline being at the 2 month mark versus the 1 month mark, there's a lot more people with 2 months left in the season with this current format where it's ultra competitive and there's a lot more races that go down to the wire. Guys have to make decisions, and it's like that 2 month mark. I love it because I think there's more strategy to it. The 1 month mark with the old system, less seats at the table for the postseason, it was kind of an easy move. You're either a buyer or a seller.
Yep.
Now you're kind of in between, like, what do I, you know, I got these guys, if they get hot, we could be a postseason team. Do we buy? Do we sell? Do we stand pat? So I think it's cool from a strategic standpoint, the system, the way it's set up. That, to your point, not being enough players, without a doubt. There's not enough players because there's a lot more teams that are in the hunt, and everybody needs the same thing, and there's only so many. The teams I look to early, and I think it's really too early to look, but a Texas Rangers comes to mind. They've got a lot of starting pitching. Lorenzen comes to mind, a Gray. I don't know if they'd part with an Eovaldi. Scherzer, I don't know if people would be willing to pay the ticket price for a Scherzer at this stage of his career. Does DeGrom come back in the second half and they make, that's always a 50-50 at best. I look to the Toronto Blue Jays. They've got a Gausman, a Berrios, a Kikuchi, a Bassett in that starting rotation. Things haven't gone good for the Toronto Blue Jays the way they drew it up 3-4 years ago with this youth movement. I think they could be sellers. And then you look at the Cubs. You know, is there a Bellinger available? Do they want to pay that ticket? A Horner-type player. They've got some starting pitching. Iwanaga, Steele. Are they willing to part with those guys? I'm not sure. So to me, in the short term, I look at a Texas or a Toronto for pitching that somebody's going to go after. And as the hitters go, hitters are usually more available than pitchers. The premium top shelf starting pitchers always at a premium. We'll see. You're looking at your Padres teams. You're in desperate need of some pitching. You got to go out and address that at some point.
Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Why don't we just get right to it? Joining us right now is Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Brett, also the host of the Brett Boone podcast, featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports every week. Booney, good morning.
Good morning, guys. What's happening?
Just chilling, man. Watching, you know, talking baseball like we do and talking about the All-Stars. I know you were a three-time All-Star, and Adam Jones, we had on earlier, he said it never gets old, and it's always awesome, and each one was very special. And I know there's probably a couple of All-Stars going, I don't know who, but they're like, man, I could really use the break, but I'll go and do this right now.
I never understood that.
Yeah.
I never understood it. And now the farther I get away from being a player, something I did for a long time, and you never think it's going to end. And I had the attitude then, you know, I'd see guys get picked for the game, and, you know, they had a little soreness. Oh, I'm going to sit this one out, you know, because maybe they've been to 5 or 6. And I always thought, are you crazy? This is – you take every award, you take every opportunity, you're invited, something go. You only go around one time, and it's even more glaring to me the farther I get away from it. Like, just enjoy everything you have. These guys that I got to go to 2 home run derbies. One of them I stunk, but I got to do them. You know, I got to do them. I got invited. That wasn't my genre. You know, it wasn't my forte. But I'll be damned if I get invited to be in a home run derby. How many people get invited? So I took every opportunity, even though I knew it wasn't my strong point, sitting there without a cage, hitting homers as an exhibition. But I thought, I want to take advantage of this. The guys that took the All-Star, it's like you go to the All-Star game. How many times are you going to be an All-Star?
It's incredible.
So I never understood that mindset. I don't want to get personal with anybody in their decisions, but my brain doesn't calculate it. You do everything you can. You accept every award you can. You get every experience you can. So to me, All-Star, yeah, it's not like it was in 1970 and the Pete Roses, we're going to win this game because, you know, this is the pride's on the line. I get that. And I think that's.
I hate to ask.
Today's game is an exhibition. And the main thing is don't get hurt. And as a player, you think don't get hurt and don't embarrass yourself. Because the most important part is getting back to your team and being a viable asset down the stretch. But, man, really embrace this All-Star. And I don't know. I did.
All right.
Sorry.
That's all right. I hate to ask, but when you say you stunk in the Home Run Derby, what's the total?
You got Paulie up the back channels.
I remember. Booney, we've told you this. You were my favorite player as a Seattle Mariner. I was like 11 years old.
This was not the time format in Seattle. This wasn't the time format, right? You got 10 outs when you get it?
This was a different format. I actually think the current format is better.
Okay.
More entertaining. It's more entertaining for the fans, I think. Ours was different. It was outs,
yeah,
and there was much lower total, how many homers you hit. I went to Seattle. Was my first one. I got invited, and I did okay. I held serve. I didn't embarrass myself. I didn't hit 20 homers,
yeah,
but I did good. I tied Sammy Sosa, who I was pitted against.
Fine.
Well, back in the day when you tie, they didn't have a tiebreaker. Their tiebreaker was you go to the stats and who has the most home runs at the break. I think I had 22 or 24 and Sammy had like 28. So he went on and I remember the crowd just booed because we tied and he was going on. But I was okay because I just said, hit a few homers, don't embarrass yourself. Got in, got out. The one that was rough was in Chicago a couple of years later. I got invited to it and I blame it on the guy throwing BP, but yeah, I had a rough out. I had a rough outing and I heard every venue I went to the second half, that's all I heard about. Nice home run derby.
I feel like that happens all the time, though, because that first All-Star game, that was you were a Mariner. It was in Seattle.
Oh.
Will Myers struggled as his local
I blame his brother.
Participant.
His brother throwing BP was terrible.
It wasn't your dad or someone who was throwing you BP, was it?
It was not my guy. Okay. So my guy was John McLaren. He was my bench coach. I mean, he just had a way of hitting the barrel of my bat. So it's a late call, and I think about it. I don't have Johnny with me. So I give him a call about a week before. I said, Johnny, I need you to fly to Chicago, throw BP. Booney, I'm going on a trip to Haiti with my, he was going, with my wife. Well, I had the option right there. I'm going to refund his trip. I'm going to give him a better trip. Or I'll let him go enjoy his All-Star breaks. I said, it's no big deal. Anybody could throw BP. Well, fast forward. I get there. Dave Valley, who I love Dave. I was a teammate my rookie year with Dave, and he was around the Seattle Mariners doing the commentary for a lot of years. I said, Dave, all right, you got to throw BP to me today. We go out for the warm-up BP, and I just know. Some guys you don't click with, I'm like, this ain't going to work. He's throwing me right-handed cutters. We're buddies. He's out there sweating. He wants me to do well. And I'm like, Val, you're horrible. I had heard from the lefties, they love him. Jason Giambi was wearing him out, hitting him in the upper deck. But it's just cutting away from me. And I'm hitting doubles down the left field line, which don't pay very good in the Home Run Derby. And I remember just, the terrible showing, zero homers. I never felt like I wanted to just crawl in a hole anymore. And I saw Troy Gloss in 2001 get skunked, and he was really taking it hard. And I was laughing, like, who cares? You're at the All-Star game, you got 22 homers at the break. This doesn't matter. Now, fast forward, I went through a really bad Home Run Derby, and now I know the feeling. Like, you have to do that interview afterwards with the Gatorade, and you're looking for, you're looking for words, and that, you get that uncomfortable laugh, and it's really not funny, but you don't know what else to do. Anyway, I go home, and all my teammates are wearing me out. Booney, nice Home Run Derby. You know what the answer to them is? Try getting invited. Try qualifying for one before you have an opinion. And that's what I went with the second half of the season.
Yeah, and try having Dave Valley throw to you. Yeah, Dave Valley throwing you cutters on your hands. I was there for the Will Myers one. I had really good seats, and I was watching. And you could see the frustration. And I think it was his brother. Wasn't his brother?
Yeah, his brother.
And obviously, he's panicked. I mean, he's just throwing BP would be harder than hitting it. It would be so terrifying.
I agree with
that.
Oh, my
God, man. And you just see the frustration building. He just can't get one over. It's gnarly. Well, let's shift gears a little bit. Talking to Brett Boone here on Ben and Woods this morning. I want to ask you about your brother and what's going on in New York right now. I mean, it's New York, so
he's having a good time.
He's having a real good time right now.
You know what I think of managing and how important managers are. And it was great because the first half of the season, you know, I'd do a show and people would ask me, hey, Aaron's doing a great job. I said, yeah, well, of course. You know, he learned how to manage over the off season. It's all about managing.
Smart ass.
It's all about. And they love him. And he's the greatest manager of all time. A year ago, they wanted his head. They wanted him killed in New York. I said, it's unbelievable how over the winter, just with a couple tips here and there, became an unbelievable manager. It has nothing to do with the players being healthy.
Pitching.
And now all of a sudden, they're going through a three-week real skid. You know, I look at it, and it's still their top. They got one of the top records in all of baseball.
Yep.
But nevertheless, it's been a rough 3 weeks. And all of a sudden, they want his head again. And all of a sudden, Aaron Boone doesn't know how to manage anymore.
Yeah. Wild.
And it's amazing how you learn, you forget. There should be a course how to do it because I think these managers would really, you know, they'd all win World Series because it's not the players and the health. It's all about managing. All right. Now let's be serious a little bit. Talk to him. He's fine, but he's going through, you know, what you're going through. You've got a great team. You've got huge expectations. For me, that team needs help in the bullpen. And I think everybody knows that. They've got it. They've always had that power bullpen. They're missing some key guys. They got to get them back, Birdie being one of them. But I think they need real help out in that bullpen. I think Giancarlo Stanton is not talked about. We're talking about Aaron Judge and Juan Soto, who are MVP candidates this year. Aaron Judge stays healthy. I think he walks away with the MVP. That being said, I think Giancarlo Stanton is the most important person in that lineup. I know what Judge is going to do. I know what Soto's going to do. Verdugo's going to go in and out. DJ's getting a little bit older, tough. But the presence of Giancarlo Stanton, and a productive one, which he was before he
was.
Went on the IL,
yep.
He just has that presence in the middle of the lineup. Whereas an opposing hitter, as an opposing pitcher, you can't just say, I avoid Soto, I avoid Judge, and I can cruise through this lineup. With Giancarlo sitting there, you can't do that. And with him being out of the lineup, I think it's a glaring hole. Got to get him back as soon as you can. I think that's going to be okay and fix that lineup. But I think you really have to address that bullpen. Cole's back. He's had three starts. Two have been not really Cole-like. One was. But you got to realize, this is his spring training right now. Gerrit Cole in the long run is going to be fine. I look at the rest of that rotation. Rodon's been really shaky. He's been up and down. He's got off to a really good start, but he's been faltering. Stroman's had a couple bumps in the road. Nestor's been kind of a constant. He's been pretty darn good for him. Clark Schmidt, the young starter who's having a great year, he's missed a ton of time. He's not going to be back till late in the season. So you're looking at all these, adding them together, and it's like the young kid, Heal, who was a shoe-in rookie of the year, he fell on some tough times. He's righted the ship, so he's better. I think that starting rotation is going to be okay. Really got to address that bullpen as we go down the line. But as I'm finding in 2024, it's not about that marathon anymore. I think we covered this last week. It's not about winning 100 games. It's about being healthy, being in the right place from a health standpoint per this roster, having a seat at the table in the postseason and going into the postseason hot. That's what win World Series in 2024, not winning 102 games and having an unbelievable season. It's about being healthy at the right time.
Talking to Brett Boone, Insider Calls brought to you by Granger. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. And we've seen a couple of small moves, but no real trade deadline action yet, Brett. And it just feels like there's not enough players to go around. There's so many teams with needs, pitching needs especially. Obviously, the Padres in need of starting pitching pretty badly right now, but so are so many other teams. A couple of teams are going to be left without anything at the end of this month, and their GMs are going to get raked over the coals, but there's just not enough to go around, it feels like, right now.
You're right, and I think if you look at the numbers, the American League, National League, there's probably six teams that you can probably say, you know what, you're not going to the postseason this year. But because of the new format, because of the trade deadline being at the two-month mark versus the one-month mark, there's a lot more people with 2 months left in the season with this current format where it's ultra-competitive and there's a lot more races that go down to the wire. Guys have to make decisions, and it's like that two-month mark. I love it because I think there's more strategy to it. The one-month mark with the old system, less seats at the table for the postseason, it was kind of an easy move. You're either a buyer or a seller.
Yep.
Now you're kind of in between, like, what do I, you know, I've got these guys, if they get hot, we could be a postseason team. Do we buy? Do we sell? Do we stand pat? So I think it's cool from a strategic standpoint, the system, the way it's set up. That, to your point, not being enough players, without a doubt. There's not enough players because there's a lot more teams that are in the hunt, and everybody needs the same thing, and there's only so many. The teams I look to early, and I think it's really too early to look, but a Texas Rangers comes to mind. They've got a lot of starting pitching. Lorenzen comes to mind, a Gray. I don't know if they'd part with an Eovaldi, Scherzer. I don't know if people would be willing to pay the ticket price for a Scherzer at this stage of his career. Does DeGrom come back in the second half and they make? That's always a 50-50 at best. I look to the Toronto Blue Jays. They've got a Gausman, a Berrios, a Kikuchi, a Bassett in that starting rotation. Things haven't gone good for the Toronto Blue Jays the way they drew it up 3-4 years ago with this youth movement. I think they could be sellers. And then you look at the Cubs. You know, is there a Bellinger available? Do they want to pay that ticket? A Horner-type player. They've got some starting pitching. Iwanaga, Steele. Are they willing to part with those guys? I'm not sure. So to me, in the short term, I look at a Texas or a Toronto for pitching that somebody's going to go after. And as the hitters go, hitters are usually more available than pitchers. The premium top shelf starting pitchers always at a premium. We'll see. You're looking at your Padres teams. You're in desperate need of some pitching. You got to go out and address that at some point. Cause I think the offense is going to be fine. Yeah. Tatis being out longer than we thought, that might be tough for the Padres, but, it'll be interesting. You know, that's just my short term right now. And I'm starting to look towards that trade deadline. Who's going to be sellers? Who's going to be buyers? That's what I've come up to this point. Going to be an interesting month to see, how everybody jockeys and who's buying, who's selling, and who's standing pat.
You know, the most interesting thing for me, Booney, is those teams that, like, think about the Pittsburgh Pirates. You know, if they could find a way in. If they could find a way in.
Right, they're only three games out of the wild card. Right,
yeah, but you have their owner who's like, oh, like, I don't.
So you just want me to spend money on something?
You want me to spend money and you know.
Right. He's used to the stand pat sell button.
100%. He's looking to unload salary. I mean, it's just, those are the teams where you look at it and you go, all right, this is going to be really, really interesting. It always is, Booney, but we appreciate you jumping on with us, man. Crushed it. Thanks so much for your great home run derby story. Nice derby, by the way.
Three-time All-Star, one-time goose egg in the home run
derby. That's right. Yeah. Better than any of us could ever speak on. You're the best, dude. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
That was Odyssey MLB Insider Brett Bone. Insider calls presented by Grainger with supplies or solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Quick check of traffic. Come back. Wrap up the hour here on 97.3 The Fan. By the way, what Brett Boone was referring to in the new trade deadline rules, because the trade deadline's always been at the end of July, but before the last couple of years when they changed it, there was the non-waiver trade deadline where you could still make trades in August.
Yep.
Players just have to pass through waivers, and a lot of players will, because, you know, guys who wouldn't get claimed could then be traded. So guys with bigger salaries and stuff, you could still make those trades in August. You can't anymore. Your roster is pretty much set after July 30th or whatever it is this year. And so you have to make decisions earlier, and that is putting teams in a tougher spot, especially with so many on the fringes of contention right now.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's a lot of teams that probably should buy that maybe won't, Ben. Maybe you won't. Notoriously cheap
ownership. And there'll
be
teams that want to buy that can't.
That can't.
Because there aren't any players available that they need.
Yep.
Morning, guys.
No, hey.
He's going to buy. I have almost no doubt about that. 100%. He's the one who always buys. All right, we got 1 hour to go. Paulie's got some headlines in the Rondo Report coming up next. Ben and Woods continuing here on 97.3 The Fan.